Today's shir is Masechta Pesachim Daf Chaf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, 16 lines from the bottom. Yosva Humi Rabbana Kamedi Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeini. One of the Talmidei Yeshiva was sitting by Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeini. Yosva Kam Mishmeid Rav Shmuel Ben Levi. And he was repeating the name of Rav Shmuel Ben Levi. V'nayin L'chol Yisurin Shbetayra. How do we know that all Yisurin Shbetayra? And it's important to understand that in today's shir, when the Gemara is going to use the terminology L'chol Yisurin Shbetayra, the Gemara is referring to Chomeis B'Pesach V'Shar HaNiskal T'Kehechad Yisurin V'Yechila. Just like you're not allowed to eat these items, Hoch Yinami Yisurin B'Hanol. It's Osbano, like we said in my new Chomeis B'Pesach V'Shar HaNiskal. How do we know that Chomeis B'Pesach and Shar HaNiskal are Osbano? Ask the Gemara B'Nayin. How do you know? Why don't we say, typically, Melo Yachil? We should learn from the words Lo Yachil, which Chizkiah has been telling us in the previous blot, that whenever the Torah uses this unique terminology of Lo Yachil versus just saying Lo Yachal, it means that the item is also Bahana. Answers the Gemara, Lo Yachil, this Tana held that the words lo ye'ochel, even with this unique pronunciation, isra achila mashmalei, only includes an issa to eat, issa hanole mashmalei. It does not include an issa to have any benefit. So that can't be the source that it's osu b'hano. Ask the Gemara, tev claim in nevela. Why don't we learn from nevela? As we learned also earlier in the parak, that since the Torah used the word Lo Yoichal by Nevela, and then the Torah went out of its way still to say Leger Shebeshorecha to the Ger Toishiv Tatnena, you should give it Oy Machal Nachri or sell it to a guy. So it's obvious that Lo Yoichal includes the Issa Hano, since the Torah had to go out of its way to say that by Nevela it is Mutta Bahano. So it means everywhere else it's Osh Bahano. Says the Gemara Savalek Rav Yehuda. He says that the reason the Pasuk said you could sell it to a goy or give it to the ger is not to indicate that normally it would be osbahana, rather dvarim kiksovim, that the pasuk is teaching us that you must give it to a ger or you must sell it to a goy. So that can't be a source that chametz sharaniskal osbahana. Isavalei Rabbi Yehuda, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, typically, Mihaych de Nafkle Rabbi Yehuda. So if you're saying he's explaining the Pasuk by Nevela, the way Rabbi Yehuda explained the Pasuk, so then let him follow Rabbi Yehuda's lead. And Rabbi Yehuda said, the Mekelev Tashlichun Aysoi, that since the Pasuk says by Trefa, the word Lekelev Tashlich Aysoi, that should be given to the dog, that's talking about the Trefa. Everything else should not be given to a dog, which would teach us that Chametz and Sharaniskal are also Bahana. Says the Gemara Kesavar, this Tana held that Chulin Shnishchtu Bazara, that Chulin that were slaughtered in the Beis Hamikdash compound, the Raisa, are also the Raisa. So that's what the Pasuk of Kelev Tashlichun Oisai teaches us. If that's what the Pasuk teaches us, we don't have all of the Mekiris, all of the sources that we've been using all week to teach us that Chametz, Sharaniskal, Asa Mahana, he doesn't agree with. So if he doesn't agree with any of those sources, we're now left with a question, Minayin, how does he know that Chametz B'Pesach? How does he know that Sharaniskal is Asa Mahana? Says the Gemara, he learned it from this way. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Kol Chatos HaShiyuva Medoma. The Pasuk says, any carbon, Chatos, whose blood is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. Because as Rashi explains, there are two types of Karban Chatas. One Karban Chatas is a Karban Chatas Pnimi, which was offered on the Mizbeach that was inside the Mishkan, inside the Beis HaMikdash. Those Karban Chatas were offered on that Mizbeach and then were taken out of the Beis HaMikdash compound to be burnt. Then you have Chatas HaChitzoyne, who all of the processing, so to speak, was supposed to be done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the sprinkling of the blood. the actual burning of the carbon. The pasuk says, "Kol chatos hashiyuva medama." If you bring in that blood into mizbeach apnimi be'esh tisarif, she'ein tam alayim be'esh tisarif. Says the Gemara, there's no reason, and we'll explain this in a moment why, to tell us that it has to be burnt. Umat tam alayim be'esh tisarif. So why does the Torah tell it us if it's not necessary? If it's not there to teach us something regarding a karma chatos, because as we explained and will explain, that is already known. So there's a klal b'chol atar kuloi. If it's not relevant to what I'm learning, to ne'ehu l'inyan acher, use it for something else. So if I don't need this pasuk to teach me something regarding karma chatos, I'll use it for something else. What will I use it for? Chametz v'Pesach and Shara Niska. Ask the Gemara, why don't I need it to teach me the halacha? That if the blood of the karban chatas that was supposed to be brought on the mizbeach achitzim was brought inside Beish Tisarif, how will I know it if I'm not going to need this pasuk? Says the Gemara, Diksiv, Vehine Sarif. We all remember that on the first day that the Mishkan was inaugurated, Nadav and Avihu were bringing kabanas, and they brought a carbon that they burnt. And Moshe Rabbeinu was challenging them. Why? So he said to them, if it would have been a carbon that was supposed to be brought outside, and Rashi says it's referring to the chatos of Nachshon. Nachshon, in another, was the first Nasi that brought a series of kabanas that day. And if it was that carbon that was supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach HaChitzin, and you offered it on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and that's why it was burnt, because it was brought to the wrong place, I would understand. But that's not what happened, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them. But obviously, what are we seeing from Moshe Rabbeinu's statement to Nadav and Avihu? That if a carbon is brought to the wrong place, it must be burnt. So I already know from there, a carbon, chatas, brought to the wrong place, has to be burnt. And that's why the Gemara says, I don't need this pasuk for it. So Rashi says, what carbon was it? It was the carbon of Nachshon ben Aminadav. Tosfos says, it was the carbon of Rosh Chodesh, the chatas of Rosh Chodesh. Explains the Pnei Yeshua, what is the basis of the machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos? He says, the basis of the machloikis is, what was the day, the date of the Chanukas HaMishkan? Tosfos learns it was on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, so it was a Chatas Rosh Chodesh. Rashi learns that it didn't take place on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, it took place on Ches Nissan, on 8 days in Nissan. On 8 days in Nissan, there's no Chatas Rosh Chodesh, there's only Chatas Hanasi. And that's why he says it's referring to the Chatas Hanasi. Ask the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, according to Rashi, that says we're speaking here about the Chatas of Nachshon, the Chatas of the Nasi, which was a one-time event that the Nasiim brought these kabbanis. So how could the Gemara attempt to say that I'm going to learn from Chatas and Nachshon that for all other kabbanis and all of the generations and all the years will have the same din, that if they're brought to the same, to the wrong place, they have to be burnt? That was a one-time deal, and this is not. How could we learn Kotshe Dairois me Kotshe Shah? So Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says that the halacha normally is, and Tosfos here refers to it, that kachim that have to be burnt aren't burnt immediately. The halacha is requires ibar tzura, you have to let them decompose. So yes, that carbon, when it got disqualified, did not require ibar tzura, because it was a one time, it was kachim shah. All other kabbanas that have to be burnt have to have ibar tzura. But to say that kachim shah have to be burnt, and Kachi Dairis don't have to be burnt at all, is too extreme of a difference, and that's why I can learn from Kachi Shah, and that's why this Pasik is extra. And that's why, Tenei Inyil Chali Surin Shibataira, that Chams for Pesach and Shar HaNiskol are Osma HaNoah. Now, Vim Ein Inyil Achila, the Pasik is not telling us that it's Osa to eat Chametz, that it's Osa to eat Shar HaNiskol, because that already the Torah says explicitly, Tenei Inyil Issa HaNoah. That must be teaching us that it's Osa Bahano. Ask Tosfos, how can I think that it's going to be mutter, that the pasuk's referring to achila? What does the pasuk say? Be'esh tisarif, burn it. Burning means hana, not achila. So how does the Gemara say maybe it means achila? And the Gemara answers, because achila I don't need, I already know. It obviously doesn't mean achila, it means esh tisarif. Tosfos doesn't answer the kasha. The Avni Nezer says a very nice teretz. The Avni Nezer says that we do find that things are have to be burnt and are still muta bahano. Where do we find that? Truma Tameya, we spoke about it. Truma Tameya, you have to burn, but you could use it for fuel. So the fact that the Torah says that the Eish Tesarif doesn't automatically mean that it's Asa Bahano. It may only mean an Isra Achila. That's why the Pasuk has, that's why the Gemara has to go through the process and say, Isra Achila I don't need, I already know it, it must be Isra Hano. Says the Gemara, if I'm learning from this Pasuk, so I should learn all the way. Ima kan b'sreifa. What is that law? It has to be burnt. So I should say af kol yisurin shebetarish b'sreifa, that chametz sharaniskel have to be burnt. Amakra answers the Gemara. The pasuk says b'kodesh be'esh tisarif b'kodesh b'sreifa. Something that's kodesh that becomes disqualified must be burnt. Ven kol yisurin shebetarish b'sreifa. Everything else does not require sreifa. Ask the Gemara, v'hai b'kodesh b'esh tesarev l'hachud asa, is that what this pasuk is teaching me? That chametz, shar niskos asa b'hano, hamei b'ayla l'chad Rav Shimon, we need it for what Rav Shimon taught us, the Tanya Rav Shimon oimer, b'kodesh b'esh tesarev, limad, it comes to teach us, al chatos, that if the chatos was brought to the wrong place, that it has to be burned, where do I have to burn it? It has to be burnt on the base of Mikdash compound. You can't take it out. So the pasuk is not extra. I can't say that the pasuk is extra to teach me something regarding chametz, something regarding Sharon Nisko. I need the pasuk to teach me the halacha, the where do you have to burn it. And Tak, if you look in the Rambam, and really it's in Rashi, the halacha is that any kacha kadoshim that got disqualified and were not removed from the base of Mikdash compound have to be burnt in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash compound. Only if they were already outside the Beis HaMikdash compound, there's no halacha, you have to bring it back to burn it in the Beis HaMikdash compound, or Kachim Kalim, if they get disqualified, don't have to be burnt in the Beis HaMikdash compound. But bottom line is that the pasuk is no longer superfluous. Vainly El Zubavad, Psule Kachim Kachim, all Kachim Kachim that got disqualified. Vermur Kachim Kalim, Kachim Kalim, the inside, the part that's normally burnt on the Mizbeach. Menayim that they're burnt in the Azara, Tamalayim v'kodesh be'ez tesarif. So again, how do we know, we're back to where we started, how will we know the Chametz, Shara Niskel is Osu Bahana? Amalei, so he told him, Reb Yoinus and Rabbach Mahaikra Kamala. He learnt it from the following Pasuk. And the pasuk says, "V'im yivaser mibsar haluim." If from the carbon that was brought during the shemayim shemayim luim, umen alechem at a bike, if anything is left over till the morning, it's nicer. Lo yachel. She'ain tam loimer. Lo yachel. The words lo yachel are extra, and we'll explain in a moment why. Umat tam loim lo yachel. So why did the Torah say it? If it is not going to teach you something regarding Hilchus Noiser, why don't I need it for Hilchus Noiser? Because there's already a pasuk that says v'seraftes anoiser be'esh, that all leftover kabbonis past the prescribed time have to be burnt. So obviously lo yoichel you're not allowed to eat it. It has to be burnt. So the words lo yoichel are extra. And if it's not coming to teach me something regarding Hilchus Noiser, Tanei Inyan L'Shari Surim B'Shabbatayra, it's coming to teach me that Chametz and Sharan Niskal Os B'Hano. V'Mein Inyan L'Achila, I don't need to teach us that they're Os B'Achila, because that is, as we said earlier, explicitly stated in the Torah. Tanei Inyan L'Sana, it must be coming to teach us that it's Os B'Hano. Ask the Gemara, if I'm learning from here, I shall learn all the way. And say, Ima kan b'sreifa, if over here they have to be burnt. Af kol isurin shebetar b'sreifa, they should have to be burnt. It shouldn't be enough just to have an issa hano. Amakra, says the Gemara, that I won't say. Because the pasuk says, v'sarafta es hanoiser. And like the Rishonim explained, the whole word noiser is superfluous. I already know that the pasuk is talking about noiser. The pasuk is teaching us noiser b'sreifa. Noiser must be burnt. Vein kol yisurim shebetayra b'sreifa. Nothing else must be burnt. Ask the Gemara, v'hai lo yachal lo'achi u'da'asa. Is that the purpose of this pasuk? I need the pasuk for something else, something that actually has to do with kachim. Hamibayilei l'ched Rebbe Lazar. I need it for what Rebbe Lazar taught us. Dam Rebbe Lazar la yoichel k'kaidishu Kol Shabakadesh Posel, any kachim that become disqualified by cause of litin like sasel chilasai, the Torah says that if you will eat it, you will be over alav. So we're back to where we started. We said that this pasuk of lo seichel is superfluous because I know you have to burn it because the Torah says be'esh tisaref, so it must be there for chametz. It's not extra. It's coming to teach us that if you will eat it, you'll be over alav. So I'm back to where I started. How do I know chametz and shara niskel are also bahano? Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, let's go back to the beginning of this piece of Gemara. Lo'ayla mikra kama. We go back to the first pasuk that we began discussing on the bottom of Daf Chaf Gimel on about days, that the pasuk said kol chatos shuv medama be'esh tisaref, and we said that the word esh tisaref was extra, and then the Gemara said no, that the word be'esh tisaref are not extra because be'esh tisaref teaches us that you have to burn it b'kaidish ve'ipach. But Abaye uses a reverse logic, lichtav esh tisaref. Of course you have to write, you have to burn it. Because that's how I know that you have to burn it b'makom kodesh. But why do I also have to have the words lo seichel? If you have to burn it, obviously you're not allowed to eat it. Ma tam lo seichel. Why did the Torah use the words lo seichel? So we say it again. If it's not there to tell us that I'm not allowed to eat it, why? Because I already know from what I learned a moment ago, the Nafgalei Med Rebbe Lezer, I already learned from Rebbe Lezer that any Kodesh that's disqualified, there's a lav. So I don't need it to tell me that. Tnei'in Yilchol Esrush B'Torah, it must be here to teach us that Chometz B'Pesach and Sharan Niskal are also B'Hanol. And again, V'me'in Yilachila, it must not be here to teach me that they're also B'Achila, because that's explicitly stated. Tnei'in Yilchol, no, it must be here to teach us that it's also in benefit. And we continue, Ima Kambis Reifa, should I say that not only are you also to have any benefit, but maybe you have to burn it, because that's what the pasuk that we're discussing and that we're using as a source teaches us. Ima kam b'sreifa, af kol yisurin shebetayr b'sreifa, chametz sharniska must be burnt, amakra hanoyser b'sreifa, ven kol yisurin shebetayr b'sreifa, there is no chiv to burn it. Amaleir papa labaya, so papa says to Abaya, I don't agree. Ve'emli chudi la'av l'gufe hudasa. The Gemara Masech Damakis says like this. The Gemara Masech Damakis discusses that there are a number of lavin that there's no chiv malchus for. One of those lavin is called a lav shebechlolus. A lav shebechlolus is a lav that deals with many different subjects at the same time. Rebbe Lezer's lav of loy soichel, which is talking about kodesh that becomes disqualified, is speaking about many different types of disqualifications. So it's a lav shebechlolus. So says Rav Papa, you know why I need loy soichel? Because I can't rely on Rebbe Lezer. Because Rebbe Lezer's case is talking about all kachim that are disqualified. It's a lav shebeklolus. You won't get malchus for it. So that's why the Torah had to repeat lo seichel here by the carbon that was brought to the wrong place to separate it out, liyichudei, the Gemara's language, to separate it out, take it out of the klal, take it out of the group, and you'll be mechayev malchus. So what we're up to is, so no longer is lo seichel extra, and it can't be used for chametz and shara niskel. Now Tosfos says that even though Rebbe Lezer says that lo seichel talks about disqualified kachim, and therefore the Gemara just said it's a lav shebeklolus, and you should not get malchus, for noiser you would get malchus. Why? Tosfos says since the pasuk is actually talking about the subject of noiser, as far as noiser is concerned, it's not a lav shebeklolus. For all other disqualifications, yes, it would be a lav shebeklolus. But for noiser, since that's the subject of the pasuk that Rebbe Lezer is discussing, it won't be a lav shebeklolus. Tosfos also says that that would be the same din for pigel. Since we find the Torah, that the Torah is makish, it compares pigel to noiser. So if we're saying that everybody will agree that noiser does malchus, and for noiser, it's not a lav shebeklolus, it won't be a lav shebeklolus for pigel. But it would be a lav shebeklolus for all other disqualifications, and that's why I need the pasuk. So I need the pasuk. I don't have an extra pasuk. V'chametz and shara niskel. Let's do the Gemara inside. Maybe the purpose of the pasuk is to tell us that it's that Yechayev Malkus for eating kachim that were taken to the wrong place. You can't rely on Rabbi Lazar because ain't like an alash b'klalus. Rabbi Lazar is talking about a lav that speaks about a group. So we're back to where we started. How do we know the chametz shara niskla zos b'hanah? Elomer papa mahacha v'abasa sheyiga b'chol tamei. If kachim touches something that's tamei, lo yoichel, don't eat it. Beish yisarif, you have to burn it. She'ain tamei loy me lo yoichel. The words here lo yoichel are extra. And we'll explain in a moment why. Ma tam aloy ma lo yachol. Why do I say it? To teach us, it's not here to teach us that you're not allowed to eat kachim that became tamei. Why? Because I don't need a pasuk to teach me that kachim become tamei are also to be eaten. You know why? That nafkalim kavachaymer. I can learn it with a kavachaymer. What's the kavachaymer? Maisa kal. The loch is, as we'll explain in a moment, maiser that becomes tamei, you're not allowed to eat. Now, Meiser is not as serious as Kachim. So if the halacha is the Meiser that becomes Tameh, you're not allowed to eat, certainly Kachim that become Tameh, you're not allowed to eat. So the word La Yoichel that says in that pasuk are extra. Because, Oma Masa Kal, Omer Torah. The Torah tells us by Meiser, which is not as serious as Kachim. Loi Be'atim Yemen Be'Tameh. The halacha is that Meisers were given in a 6-year cycle. Every year you have to give Truma. Every year you have to give Maisa Rishon. Maisa Sheni is given in the first year and the second year. In the third year you give Maisa Ani. Fourth and fifth year again is Maisa Sheni. Sixth year is Maisa Ani. Then you can't let this all store up without giving it away. So you have to do what's called, at the end of that time, Vidui Maisa. A person goes and says a Vidui, a confession that he did everything that he's supposed to do. One of the things that he says in that vidui is, Loi bi'arti mimene b'tamei. What does that mean? I did not eat it when I was tamei. So we see that you're not allowed to eat maisa when you're tamei. So if you're not allowed to eat maisa when you're tamei, you're certainly not allowed to eat kachim. So the word like soichel in that pasuk is superfluous. Now Rashi asks, Loi bi'arti mimene b'tamei is not a laugh. Loi bi'arti mimene b'tamei is just a speech. So how do we see a laugh? So Rashi says, if part of my speech is that I didn't do it, it must be it's usher. Because if it's not usher, then why would I say that I didn't do it? So basach kodesh, which is chomer like kolshkein, certainly the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat b'tamei, and that's why leisoichel is extra. Ask the Gemara, yes, you want to learn it from a kavachomer, but we have a klal that emes hirim and adin. Emes hirim and adin means that based on a Kal V'Chomer alone, you can't give somebody Malkus. Why? So there's two approaches to how to explain it. Most Rishonim explain it very simply. If I have a Kal V'Chomer, we'll sit here and we'll learn a Kal V'Chomer, and we'll examine it and analyze it, and say it's a great Kal V'Chomer. And based on it, we'll give a person Malkus. Tomorrow, we'll review it, we'll reanalyze it, and we'll see it wasn't the right Kal V'Chomer. And this person already got the Malkus. So based on a Kal V'Chomer, you can't give a person Malkus. Other Mefarshim explain that that's a rule, that something that's just based on the Kal V'Chomer, as strong as the Kal V'Chomer is, as much as it could withstand any questioning, you can't give Malkus for it. So that's, if that's the case, you can't rely on the Kal V'Chomer. So I'm back to where I started. I need Loi Soichel to teach me that there's a laugh. So he says, you're right. I can't rely on the Kal V'Chomer, but I can rely on a Hekesh. Hekeshihu. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Lesucha lechel b'sharecha, Masa degancha, Tiroshcha v'yitzurecha, B'kayos b'karcha. So this Pasuk connects, compares, Kachim to Meiser. So if Meiser, there's a lav, B'tumma, the same din applies to Kachim. So I don't need the Pasuk of Lesoichel, and that's why I could use it for Chametz and Sharan Niskel. Ask Taisvis, but the Hekesh is a lav shavaklalis. It's talking about a whole group of things. And we just said that when you're dealing with a group, we don't give Malkus. So Taisa says a very important rule. When we said that when you're dealing with a group, you don't give Malkus, is when the items in the group are not specifically singled out. But in this Pasuk, the items in the group are mentioned separately. Masa degoncha, tiroishcha, vitzarecha, or bekaris bekarcha. That's not called a group for which you don't give Malkus. So now we complete our limud. So why did the Torah say lo yoichel? If it's not here to teach us that you're not allowed to eat kotshin betumah, because I was saying we're learning that from Maisa, it's coming to teach us regarding chametz and shara in the skull. V'meini inyan l'chila, because achila, I know it's awesome because it's explicitly stated. Tenei inyan l'no, that you're not allowed to benefit. Ask the Gemara one more time. Ima kambas reifas. So if I'm learning from there, it should be exactly the same, and you should have to burn it. I would have to say af kol asurin shebetayru b'sreifa, that you should have to burn chametz. You should have to burn char nisko. Amakra hanoiser. Hanoiser does a chiv sreifa. Vein kol asurin shebetayru b'sreifa. Ask the Gemara. Amle Ravina Ravashi. So this is the source. Ask the Gemara. Instead of saying, let's understand the Gemara's kasha. Instead of saying that lo soichel, which is talking about the subject of eating kachim betumah, and then saying, you know, it's not talking about that, it's talking about chametz, something out of left field, say that it's talking about eating kachim betumah. I watch your kasha. I don't need it for that. I already know that you're not allowed to. Maybe what the point is to tell us that you're over two lavin when you eat kachim betumah. And there is a precedent for that, says the Gemara, that you could be over more than one lav for one aveira. Because Amalei Ravina Laravashi, the Eima, you know why the Torah is saying it? Lava Allah b'shnei lavim. That if somebody eats kachim b'tumah, he'll be over two lavim. Lav me Amar Abaya. Then the Abaya said, Ochel b'tisa. The Torah is very makbid. The Torah is very strict about eating living creatures. So there are two psuk, there's one pasuk, two lavim, that speak about all creatures in general. The pasuk says, "Lo yisushakshu es nafshaseichem b'chol asheretz asheretz v'lo yisusamibom." Then that's talking about a general lav, two lavim for any living creature. Ochel petisa, petisa is an aquatic creature, loika arba, because there are two more lavim that speak about aquatic creatures. Namala, if you eat a creature that crawls on the floor, like a chamish, there's five lavin. What are the five lavin? The two lavin that we began with, the general lavin, and three more. One is chol sheretz hasheretz al oritz, sheketzu lo yachol. Another lav is chol sheretz hasheretz al oritz, lo yisoichlem, ki sheketz heim. And a third one, above the general two, is lo yisutamus nafshaseichem, b'chol sheretz haroimis al oritz. Oh, it's sira, if somebody eats a hornet, like a sheish. What are the six? So Rashi explains, a hornet flies and also crawls on the ground. So you'll have the five that you have for the ground, plus one more for sheretz ha'oif. But the point of today's shir is not to discuss hilchos talon. The point of today's shir is to discuss that you see that the Torah mentions more than one lav for the same aveira. So what are you telling me, asked the Gemara, that the pasuk that says lo yisoichel regarding eating kachim betumah is coming to teach me that chametz, because to tell me that kachim betumah I don't need, I already know it, it's not true. Maybe the Torah repeats it to tell us you get another lav. Answers the Gemara, Amalei, kol heicha de'ikel medrash dashinen, v'lakminen belav yisera. The Gemara says a very important rule. The Gemara says, given that option, I have extra words. I could say that the extra words are coming to tell us that you get extra malchus. You get another set of malchus. You're over another lav for doing the same aveiro. Or to teach us that it's talking about something else that I don't have a makar for, I don't have a source for. I prefer to use the pasuk for something that I haven't been able to find a source than just piling up lavin for the same aveira. Why? So Mefarshim explained very simply. It doesn't make a difference how many lavin there are for an aveira. Once it's an aveira, it's an aveira. So there's really no specific gain in adding lavin. But using it for another subject is something that's very usable. So I prefer to do that versus extra lavin unless I have no choice. So when I have a choice, let's just use it in our Gemara, of saying the word loisoichel is coming to teach us that you get extra lavin for eating kachim betumah, Or I could say that it's coming to teach us something regarding chametz and shor niskel. I prefer to use of the chametz and shor niskel, which is totally unaddressed, versus just adding another laugh for something that we already spoke about. Ask the Gemara, since we spoke about these psukim, so our sugya of shor niskel and chametz for Pesach, we found a source. But since we discussed these psukim, the Gemara will reflect on them for a few lines. Vabasa, ashiyga b'chaltamei layachal, dureishalamli. The first words of Vabasa, what do I use it for? Obviously, we're talking about the meat of kachim. Why does the pasuk have to say Vabasa? L'rabois eitzim v'levonim. It comes to teach us that the wood that was on the mizbeach, the levon is a spice that was put on carbon mincha. Normally, they're not susceptible to tumah. Why? Because they're not a food. They're not a clothing, they're not utensil, so normally they're not susceptible to tumah. These items, because they're kodesh, are susceptible to tumah. Vabasa called Taya Yocha Basa the Seifel Amari. At the end it says again the word Vabasa, what do I do with that? The rabbis emurim, to teach us that the emurim, the parts that are normally burnt on the Mizbeach, are also susceptible to tumah. Ask the Gemara, emurim, that emurim are susceptible to tumah, mahasim nafka. I know from a different pasuk. The Gemara, the pasuk says, the Tanya, v'nefesh asher toichel basim mizevach hashlomim asher l'Hashem, l'rabbis emurim. So I already know that emurim are susceptible to tumah. I don't need this pasuk to tell me emurim are susceptible to tumah. Answers the Gemara, hasam tumas aguf bekares. There it's talking about that the person who's eating the emurim is tameh, or is touching the emurim. Hacha is talking about not that the person is tamei, but the emurim are tamei. So, and there's a difference. If the person is tamei, it's a chiv karis. If the emurim are tamei and I'm tar, that's only a laugh. So I need both psukim. So Tosis points out that even though the emurim are non-edible, and usually the only parts of meat that are susceptible to tumah are edible parts, but here we have the concept of chibas hakodesh, something that it's kachim, mechshartim, it raises them up to a higher level and makes them susceptible to tumah. There's a beautiful explanation from Reb Chaim Briska to this piece of Gemara. Reb Chaim Briska asks, why do I say that the pasuk is teaching me that eitzim and levona, which as we said a moment ago, of items that are normally not susceptible to tumah, are susceptible to tumah when they catch him? Why wouldn't I rather say that normally food, in order for it to be susceptible to tumah, has to be mukshar? We spoke about it many times. It has to become wet. Maybe the pasuk is telling me that, you know, meat of kachim don't have that halacha, and they become tumah even without hechsher, even without becoming wet. Says Reb Chaim, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying here, this is a beautiful explanation, that what chibas hakodesh accomplishes is that it notches everything up. What does that mean? Meat normally needs hechsher. That's regular meat. Kodesh meat doesn't need hechsher. Eitzim levayna normally can't become tamei. Kachim eitzim levayna can become tamei. Everything is notched up lechumra. Why? Because it's kachim. And that's what this Gemara taught us. Now Miches Chinuch discusses, when we say that something that's kachim is more chumridig, what does that mean? He asks, does that mean, for example, that normally there's a shear for Kabbalah's tumah? Will we say that something that's even less than the shear, but because it's kachim, should be susceptible to tumah also? Again, using Rav Chaim's reasoning, probably it would be, because we notch it up and make it more chumridig. Says the Gemara, Amar Avu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yisurin Shebetayra, and all Yisurin Shebetayra, Ein Loikin Aleim Ela Derech Yechilasan. There's a lot of ways of learning this Gemara. This is the way most Rishonim say Rashi learns the Gemara. Something that the Torah says you're not allowed to eat, you have to eat it in the normal fashion, to be chayiv for eating it. Lemuti Mai, what does that mean? Amar Rav Simi Barashi, Lemuti Shem Ochel Chaylev Chay Shepotar. If somebody went and ate raw animal chaylev, which we've said many times this week, is asur, he won't be chayiv. Why? Because people don't eat fat raw. Nobody takes a cup of animal schmaltz for breakfast. You cook it. So therefore, you're not chayiv. Says Rashi, what is this version of the Gemara teaching us? This is regarding achila. The Gemara is teaching us that regarding achila, you're not chayiv unless you eat it in the normal fashion. What about Isra Hano? Something you're not allowed to have Hanoah from. What's going to be the halacha if you didn't have Hanoah in the normal fashion? Their halacha will be that you are chayiv, according to this version. Comes along the Ikka d'Amri, and the Ikka d'Amri, the second version, says, that Amr Avu Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yisurim Shevatar Ein Loikin Aleim El Derech Hanoason. That even something that you're not allowed to have benefit from, if you don't have it in the normal fashion, lemuti mai, what does that mean? Amar Rav Simi Rashi, lemuti, shemaniya chalef shel shor haniskel. If you take the fat of the shor haniskel that we just finished explaining is osma hanoah, and you put it al gavi makasa, you put it as an ointment, if you have chas v'sham a wound, shupater. The koshke, ochel chalef, chai shupater. What's the Gemara saying here? The Gemara, first of all, is saying that not only by achilo, is there a halacha that has to be kederach achila? The Gemara is saying that by hanah, also there's a halacha that has to be kederach hanah in the normal fashion of hanah. But the Gemara is really saying much more. Eating raw fat is completely shalai kederach. It's completely abnormal. Who eats raw fat? Using fat as an ointment, it's not abnormal. It's just not the normal use, because Baruch Hashem, most people are healthy, and they should remain healthy. So what does that mean? What it means is that even though it's not that unusual, for a person who's not well, it's pretty normal. But since for the general population, it's not usual, that's already considered shalai kederach hanah. Says the Gemara, Itman nami, Amrav Achabar Avya, Amrav Asi, Amrav Yoichran, Hiniya chelev shashar haniskel al gavi mekosoi. If somebody took this fat and used it as an ointment, potter. Lefi shakal yisurin shvatayra ein loikin aleim el aderech hanosim. Only if you do it in the usual manner, this is not usual. Amar Rav Zeira afanan nami tanina. Ein soifkin es habon. You don't get malchus mishum arla for eating arla. We discussed as it is to eat fruit during the first 3 years. Ela yoytzim and azaytzim and anovim. Only for juice that comes out from the olive or from a grape. Vil mitusim teina v'remoinim, berries, figs, pomegranate, loy. You will not be chayiv. My tama, what's the reason? La mishum de laka achlu derech hanosim. You're not eating it in a normal fashion. So what do we see from here? Another proof that when something is not eaten or not benefited from in a normal fashion, you're not chayiv. Amal Abaya, so Abaya says that's not a proof. Because bishlami yashmin and peri, if we were talking about the fruit, and like the Rishonim explained, if this price would have told us that if you have a fruit which you normally eat raw, and you go and eat the fruit cooked, or vice versa, the fruit is normally cooked and you ate it raw, that you potter yashmin and peri gufa, the loyka ochle derech hanosoi, that you didn't eat the fruit in the normal fashion, shaper. That would be a great proof that shaloi kederech, if it's not in the usual manner, you potter. Elohacha, you know why you potter here? You're not potter here because it's shaloi kederech. You're potter here for a different reason altogether. The zeya ba'alma, the juice of any fruit other than grapes and olives, is not considered the fruit. It's considered zeya ba'alma, just considered something that comes out. It's not the essential fruit, and that's why you're not chayiv. So I have no proof from here that you're part of shaloi kederech. That means it could be you're part of shaloi kederech. But the Gemara attempted to bring a proof from this braisa by Orla. This braisa by Orla is not a proof. Why? Because grape juice and olive oil are an exception. And that's why, Ramosha discusses this, grape juice would be interesting halacha. What's to be halacha if you have orange juice? Could you make a bari priyates? No, because the Gemara is saying it's zeya ba'alma. But grape juice, which the Gemara is calling peira, it's considered the essential fruit. You can maybe make a bari priyates. Avada b'diyevet, l'chadchili, you should make a bari priyagofen. On the other hand, Ramosha says, if you're going to take grape juice, or you're going to take wine, and dilute it, So it's no longer the essential fruit. So you can't make the Bari Priya Gofen, you can't make the Bari Priya Eitz. Then you'd have to make a Shakel. Now the Gemara here speaks about that if something is also to be eaten, and if you ate it Shaloi Kederach, you're not Chayiv. So first of all, there's Machlokes Rishonim, what does that mean you're not Chayiv? Some say you're Chayiv Midaraisa, you just don't get an Oynish, it's like Chatzi Shir. Some say you're not Chayiv Midaraisa, but it's also Midrabonon. And some say that it's even Mutter, it's Machlokes Rishonim. But what about the reverse case? What's going to be the halacha where the Torah tells you to eat something? Matzah, Pesach to Pesachim. And you eat it like a derech. Will you be chayiv or not? So most poskim say that you will not be chayiv. It goes both ways. If you're not yoitz the mitzvah, if you're not chayiv, you're not over an aveira when you eat it like a derech, you're also not mekayim a mitzvah when you do it like a derech. And there are a lot of proofs, we just don't have the time for it. But I saw a very interesting shayla in the Masham. The Masham says, if that's true, that if you eat something shloi kederach, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. He says there were people, and I think there still are people, that morer on Pesach, they don't grind the horseradish, they just take a bite of it. Now that's certainly shloi kederach. Nobody eats horseradish chewing it. So how could it be mekayim the mitzvah? If we're saying that if you eat it shloi kederach, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So the Masham says that shloi kederach means on a regular item. But since mara is not really a food that we eat at all, the Torah on Pesach by night tells us to eat mara. So it's a whole new food item with its own new set of rules and its own new set of conditions. And perhaps one of the set of conditions and one of the set of rules is that you could eat it by chewing pieces of it. Now, where is this question relevant? This question is also very relevant to somebody on Yom Kippur. If somebody, Chas V'Shalom, has to eat on Yom Kippur, what's going to be the halacha if he eats Shloi Kederach? So again, the Masham says, certainly, if somebody goes and puts into the food a Dova Mar, something bitter, that makes it not Shloi Kederach, he certainly won't be Chayiv. That's the perfect example, Shloi Kederach, that's not called Achila. But what's going to be the halacha, he says, that you don't do anything to the food, but instead of eating it in the normal fashion, you have it injected into your body intravenously. Would that be also considered shloi kederach? The food is a perfect food. You're just not eating it in the normal fashion. So he says that by all other isurim, he's not sure that you'll be potter. That means, let's say you'll have something inherently non-kosher, but instead of chewing it and eating it, you'll have it injected to your body. Could be that that's not enough to be considered shloi kederach. On Yom Kippur, there's a din of a nisun es nafsho seichem. The din is that you're not allowed to eat. It's not allowed to go into your throat and from there to your stomach. And therefore, Yom Kippur, you would be potter. But that may not be enough for Macholos Asuris. For Macholos Asuris, if you ate it that way, you would probably, it's certainly l'chatchila not. And as we just said, it's Macholos Rishonim anyway. Certainly, you should not be eating Macholos Asuris unless there's an inyan of refuah, which we'll discuss tomorrow.